Hey Mason, today we're digging into Low Resource Maltese OCR by Multi-Stream Voting. This paper earned today's slot because it provides a masterclass in how to build a high-performance pipeline when you are working with almost zero real-world labeled data. The core problem the author, Adam Darmanin, is tackling is a classic low-resource trap. If you want to build an optical character recognition system, you usually need thousands of pages of scanned text paired with perfect digital transcriptions to train your model. For Maltese, the author found only 57 pages of real labeled data. That is nowhere near enough to train a modern neural network to understand the nuances of the language. On top of the data scarcity, Maltese has specific orthographic headaches. It uses a Latin script, but adds several diacritics, like the dot above the C, the G, the H, and the Z. There is also a tricky hyphenation issue. In Maltese, some hyphens are part of the word structure, like when an article attaches to a noun, while others are just there because a word was split at the end of a line. If your OCR system can't tell the difference, your digital text becomes a mess of broken words. So, how does the approach work mechanically? Since there is no real data, the author builds a massive synthetic training pipeline. They take a large text corpus and use a renderer to create fake images of paragraphs. These images aren't just plain text, they include realistic noise, like blur, rotation, and even simulated ink bleed. Crucially, the author makes sure the renderer is calibrated to the exact same resolution as real scans. They found that if your synthetic images are too sharp compared to the real ones, the model fails when it hits the real world. The heart of the system is a five-stream ensemble. Instead of relying on one single model, the author runs five different versions of the Tesseract engine in parallel. They create diversity by changing the language context, like training one stream on Maltese plus Italian, and by changing the image scale. Once these five streams produce their text, the system uses a voting mechanism called ROVER. But it is not a simple majority vote, it is a lexicon-anchored vote. This means the system looks at a dictionary of Maltese words. If the streams disagree, the system uses the dictionary to decide which version is most likely a real word. Most importantly, the author added a diacritic preservation rule. If a majority of the streams suggest a word but they all accidentally stripped a diacritic, like changing a dotless H to a dot H, the system is programmed to catch that and restore the correct character. Finally, there is a post-processing chain. This handles the typographic cleanup, like turning straight quotes into curly quotes and fixing those tricky hyphens we talked about earlier. The findings are quite striking. If you just use a standard fine-tuned Tesseract model, you get a character error rate of about 2.3%. By adding the five-stream ensemble, the error rate drops to about 1.3%. That is a 44% improvement just from the voting. When you add the post-processing and diacritic recovery, the error rate drops all the way to 0.7%. That is a 70% reduction in errors compared to the baseline. The author also tested if this method works for other languages. In Luxembourgish, the method worked beautifully, showing a significant improvement. However, in Hungarian, the improvement was so small that it was not statistically significant. This tells us that while the ensemble approach is powerful, its success depends heavily on how well the language's specific quirks are handled in the pipeline. There are honest limitations here. First, the author admits that the most impressive number, that 70% reduction, is a result of testing on a specific benchmark. Because the post-processing rules were tuned using that same benchmark, there is a risk of overfitting. We don't know for sure how it will perform on a completely new, unseen set of documents. Second, the system is designed to run on a standard computer processor without a graphics card. While this makes it very accessible, it means it might not reach the absolute peak performance that a massive, GPU-heavy neural model could achieve if it actually had enough data to learn from. So, what does this mean for your Lakota pipeline? First, adopt the idea of the diacritic canary. When you are building your synthetic data for Lakota, do not just check if the text looks right. You need to track those specific characters with diacritics at every single stage. If your font or your renderer is silently swapping a diacritic character for a plain one, your entire training process is being poisoned. You need to know exactly where that happens. Second, test the resolution gap. the author's biggest mistake was a resolution mismatch between synthetic and real data. Before you spend months training a model, spend 5 minutes measuring the actual pixel density of your legacy Lakota scans. Make sure your synthetic images match that density perfectly. Third, ignore the urge to go straight to massive neural decoders if you lack the data. The author tried the big neural models and they struggled because of the resolution mismatch and the lack of scale. For a community-governed project where compute might be limited, a smart ensemble of smaller, fine-tuned models like Tesseract can actually outperform a giant model that hasn't been fed enough high-quality data. Finally, when you look at your own error rates, use the author's dual reporting method. Do not just report one number, separate your gains into two categories. Recognition gains, which is how well the model actually reads the letters, and convention gains, which is how much of your improvement is just cleaning up punctuation and quotes. If you don't separate them, you might think your model is getting smarter when it is actually just getting better at formatting. If you were to talk to the author, the question I would ask is this: how would the ensemble's performance change if the lexicon was not just a frequency table, but a full morphological analyzer? In a language like Lakota, where words change shape significantly based on grammar, a simple word list might not be enough to guide the voting process effectively. That's it for today. Go build something sovereign.